Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you, Father, for you're with us. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for your presence, your manifest presence in this place. And we thank you, Father, for you teach us. You teach us. You give us your wisdom, the wisdom that enables us to live for you. Father, we give you glory and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. You're welcome. Greet your neighbor. Your neighbor on your left, on your right. Anyone who's around you. Glory to God. Thank you for coming. Today we are going to study about humility and pride. And we're going to read passages from the book we are studying, The Final Quest. And in my opinion, the passages we are going to read, according to me, they are the saddest passages in the book. The saddest. Glory be to God. And since they are the saddest, I believe they are the most instructional, you know. Yeah? Okay? Hallelujah. Yeah. But before we do that, let's recap a bit what we studied last week. How many of you were here last week? Teddy, you were here last week. Do you remember what you studied? What did you learn last week? Thanksgiving. And why do we give thanks? Without looking at your notes. You're looking at your notes. Who was here last week? Why do we give thanks, Damba? Yes. Yes. So we thank God because He is the one who made us. All right? And He is good. All right? He is good. That's why He does us good. So we thank Him for that. And we thank Him by offering sacrifices, which include praise and worship and material things. All right? And when we thank God, we get to experience His presence. Our faith is strengthened. We become whole. And we enter the fullness of His plans for our lives. Glory be to God. Amen. Yes, now let's open the Final Quest. We are using the edition that Rick Joyner made available in 2010. Okay? The e-edition that he made available in 2010. And the copyright information page is our page number one. All right? So now let's open page 24. Paragraph 2. Okay? Are we there? So Rick Jenner says that I then looked out over the carnage below and the slowly retreating demonic army. Behind me, more of the glorious warriors were constantly taking their places on the mountain. I knew that we were now strong enough to attack and destroy what was left of this enemy horde. Not yet, said Wisdom. Look over there. I looked in the direction it was pointing, but had to shield my eyes from the glory emanating from my own armor to see anything. Then I caught a glimpse of some movement in a small valley. I could not make out what I was seeing because the glory shining from my armor made it difficult to see into the darkness. I asked wisdom if there was something that I could cover my armor with so I could see. He then gave me a very plain mantle to put on. "What is this?" I inquired, a little insulted by its drabness. "Humility," said wisdom. "You will not be able to see very well without it." Reluctantly, I put it on, and immediately I saw many things that I could not see before. I looked toward the valley and the movement I had seen. To my astonishment, there was an entire division of the enemy horde that was waiting to ambush anyone who ventured from the mountain. Let us stop there a little bit. This mantle that Rick Joyner was given to put on so that he can be able to see well, he describes it as he says that he was a little insulted by its drabness. It's what? Drabness. Do you know what that word means? Drabness. One of the things this Bible study is going to achieve is to teach people some English. Glory be to God. Drabness. I also didn't know what it means, but this afternoon I looked it up. That word means dull. Dull, you know, like something, it's not bright, you know. Drabness. So anyway, this mantle of humility was dull. There was nothing good about it. You know, you didn't put it on to go to church. You didn't put it on to go for dinner with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or husband or wife. You see, dull. You understand? However, that is what he was to put on in order for him to see clearly. Glory be to God. Now, the first lesson that we learn from this, the passage we have read, is that you can never see clearly without humility. All right? Remember, Rick Joyner is coming from up the mountain where he has experienced the glory of God. And like we learned the other day, he's carrying the glory of God. All right? You see, Now, because of the glory of God, you know, he can't see well. All right? Okay? Someone from the top of the mountain, he has reached the peak, the apex. You see, And in order for him to see well, you know, to see well, you know, into the enemy camp, you know, he needs to put on humility. Glory be to God. Now, you can't see well, or you can't see as you should do, or as God would want you to do, unless you're humble. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, at whatever level you're at, this is not just for, some people you consider great. This lesson, humility and pride, is for all of us. Okay? It is for all of us. Some of us here already, we are operating in pride. Glory be to God. So it is for us. Then there are those of us who are humble. Okay? However, that might not be said of you tomorrow. You understand? In just a few hours, you can slip into what? Into pride. Glory be to God. So if you want to see well, especially when it comes to the strategies of the enemy, okay, you need to walk in humility. We need to walk in humility. Remember, we have an enemy called the devil. He doesn't have any good plans for any of us. He doesn't wish us any good. Hallelujah. And he's doing all the best he can to take us off the scene, or to prevent us from accomplishing the will of God for our lives. Glory be to God. So in order for us to see what he's plotting to do, we need to walk in great humility. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to define these words, humility and pride, because we all know what they are. Hallelujah. Those of you who are right now in pride, you don't need to be told what pride is. On the contrary, you should be the one to tell us, because you're there. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, the opposite of pride is humility, okay? So someone who's in pride can tell us what pride is, and then, you know, we can get the opposite of what they want. Describe, and that is humility. You understand? Okay? But the key message here is, if you're going to see as God would want you to see, because remember, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. You understand? You are the moment you became born again, you became a Christian, you signed up, into the army of the Lord. Though, like we learned, I think, in our first or second lesson, some people are supposed to be in God's army, but they are in the devil's camp. We read that. You remember? You know? You don't have to remember. You can just remember that we read the final quest. If you have read the final quest, and it's there, where a good, actually, we saw that more Christians are in the enemy's army than in God's army. Hallelujah. More Christians. However, the assumption today is that we're all in what? In God's army. Amen. Now, in God's army, if you're going to fight well and to win and to achieve victory for Jesus, you need to see what the enemy is doing. Hallelujah. Now, you won't be able to see what the enemy is plotting for you if you're not walking in humility. If you don't wear this mantle, this cloak of humility. Glory be to God. Amen? This is very serious. Okay? In your business, in your gifting, in anything that you're doing for the Lord, that which you're doing is basically part of the warfare, all right? And if you're going to succeed, if you're going to stay there and even go higher, you have to walk in humility. Otherwise, you will be hit bulungi. You see, your gifting can come to nothing, your business can fail just because you didn't see what the devil was plotting for you. Hallelujah. Amen? So, we have stopped. Let's continue to read. Somewhere here, Rick Joyner asks, what army is that? You there? You have seen it? What army is that? I asked. And how did they escape the battle intact? That is pride, exclaimed Wisdom. It is the hardest enemy to see after you have been in the glory. Those who refuse to put on this cloak will suffer much at the hands of that most devious enemy. Those who do what? Those who refuse to put on this cloak will suffer much at the hands of that most devious what? Enemy. Suffer much. At the hands of what? That most what? Devious enemy. Okay? Now, another opportunity. to learn English. What does the word devious mean? Teddy, you just, you know, finished university. You just finished your exam. Devious. Do you know? You don't know. You don't know. You did not drunkenness. You did not devious. Huh? But the other words which you know, or you know, that you just say, Martin, devious. Like devil. I also didn't know. But you see, there are some words where you really don't have to know what they mean. You can somehow, what's the word? Like, you can somehow know in your heart what it means. Basically, it didn't mean anything good. You understand? As we sat here, before we began to worship, I quickly looked up that word. Amen. It means showing a skillful use of underhand tactics to achieve goals. Underhand means dishonest. Okay? So, devious means showing a skillful use of dishonest tactics to achieve goals. You know, And as I read they say like now how someone politicians operate. You see, showing a skillful use, not just use of dishonest with tactics, but skillful. You understand? Skillful use of dishonest tactics to achieve goals. Okay? So Rick Joyner, wisdom, tells him that those who refuse to put on this cloak of humility will suffer much at the hands of this enemy who is skillful at using dishonest tactics. You understand? So this enemy man is not what? Just your usual enemy. Deadly guy, man. Okay, and that enemy is pride. So pride, we can say that pride, you know, is skillful at using underhand tactics. Underhand tactics. You know, pride is skillful. Pride is not like, well, I believe. It's not like stealing. It's not like adultery, fornication. Those are all very, what? Simple, what? Enemies. You know, pride is skillful at using underhand, what? Tactics. Adultery doesn't need underhand, what? With tactics. They don't go for that. Fornication is stealing. You just, you know. But pride, and actually, pride leads to all those other things. Glory be to God. So he said, those who refuse to put on this cloak will suffer much at the hands of this enemy. Glory be to God. I'm sure we all don't want to suffer at the hands of this enemy. Okay? So we need to put on this cloak of humility. Glory be to God. Remember, this is saying that those who refuse, meaning that this cloak, humility, is available for everyone. You know, it is available. It's like, here you are, put on this. And some people refuse. People refuse to be humble. But it's there, be humble, you know. Glory be to God. But some people refuse. Say, for me, I will not. Amen. And they suffer at the hands of this enemy. Let's open 1 Peter chapter 5. I just remember the scripture which actually tells us that we should put on humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Okay? This one, why I often read the Bible as I'm studying, as you study the final question, is to show you that almost everything in there has scripture references. So here it says he put on the cloak of humility. And 1 Peter chapter 5 actually shows that you can be clothed with humility. All right? Okay? Let's continue to read. As I look back at the mountain, I saw many of the glorious warriors crossing the plain to attack the remnant of the enemy horde. None of them was wearing the cloaks of humility, and they had not seen the enemy that was ready to attack them from their rear. Fighters in God's army. Okay? But not clothed in humility. And they were gonna be man. They are going to be messed up. Now, let's open page 26, paragraph 2. Okay? Today we are going to read a lot of the final quest. You're there? Page 26, paragraph 2. It says, the enemy, so Rick Jonas sees the enemy. He says, the enemy was fleeing in all directions except for one division, pride. Okay, the enemy, all the other, you know, they're all running away, but there's one enemy who's not running away. Okay, pride. Completely undetected, it had marched right up to the rear of the advancing warriors and was about to release a hail of arrows. I then noticed that the mighty warriors had no armor on their backside. They were totally exposed and vulnerable to what was about to hit them. Wisdom remarked, you have taught that there's no armor for the backside, which means you're vulnerable if you run from the enemy. However, you never saw how advancing in pride also makes you vulnerable. I could only nod in acknowledgement, for it was too late to do anything. It was almost unbearable to watch, but wisdom said I must. I knew the kingdom of God was about to suffer a major defeat. Though I had felt sorrow before, I had never felt this kind of sorrow. Okay? Pride guarantees defeat. Pride, you're guaranteed to fail. Hallelujah. And to fall. It just follows. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay? Pride does what? Read with me. Pride does what? A fall. That's why I'm saying that pride guarantees, you know, a sure defeat. Now, that applies to anything in our lives. As a preacher, as a pastor, pride, guarantees, it is guaranteed that you're going to be hammered. You're going to be hit. You're going to fall. The pastor is going to fall. Hallelujah. Amen. In whatever you're involved in any sector of your life you're involved in, the moment you embrace pride, it is automatic. The next thing is a fall in that area. Hallelujah. When God prospers you, then you start to walk in pride. The next thing, someone then have to be a prophet to tell you what is going to befall you, what is going to happen next. You understand? Someone then need to be a prophet to tell you. They just look at you. You didn't have dimes. Then you got dimes. Then you started to walk in pride. It is a sure what? What is coming next is very obvious. Hallelujah. That is why we need to avoid what? By the way, the things which don't have to be prophesied. Let me say it this way. The things which someone, which you, there's a, you can know tomorrow, you can know what's going to happen tomorrow by just analyzing some things. Of course, using the wisdom of God, analyzing, something. That's why there's something called strategic foresight. In business, you can forecast. You understand? You can forecast because of what is happening here. It means tomorrow, So sometimes God doesn't need to give you a prophecy, a vision, a dream about your life, your tomorrow, about your business, about anything in life. There's something you can see because of this and this and this. This is going to happen. Then if it is not good, you can do what you can with the wisdom of God to avert it. All right? If it is good, you write it because of this and this and this, this good is going to happen. Okay? So you can continue to do, you should continue to do what you're doing so that that happens. The good happens. Why am I saying this? Of course, it is not related to this, but I just saw when the thing, when the Bible says that pride, destruction comes after pride. You see, so when you see pride, you just know the next thing is what? It's a fall. So anyway, I remembered we've been talking about this dream in church, about a financial crisis, which is coming. But you're going to live a greater life in it. So some time ago, I think it was Monday, a few days ago, I was watching, there's some end time programs I love watching on TV. And this guy is called Ivan Baxter. He quoted a certain think tank, some group in the States. It's called Eurasia Group. It's a think tank. And these guys, on 2nd January, they released a report. It's a think tank. So these guys sit down, they think, they say what's happening in the world. They have a lot of data, about the economy, politics, all over the world. And basically what these guys said is that, you remember in 2008, that's when the credit crunch hit. And these guys were saying that if there is any year which feels like something like that is going to happen again, based on their analysis of things, they say that 2018 feels like that year. Now, this is a reputable think tank. For them now to say that, it means, because you don't want to put your company, your group, you have to be mindful of your reputation. For guys to come out that clearly and say 2018 feels like the year in which what happened in 2008 is going to happen again. You know, that is remarkable. But anyway, now if it is true, I don't know if it's true, if it's going to happen in 2019. But let's say our dream was talking about 2018. God didn't tell me the year, okay? Okay, but it could be. And let's assume God was talking about 2018. Now, the other guys didn't pick it up by a prophecy, a dream. They just sat down, used the minds which God had, the data, the way the world is moving, many variables, and they saw that 2018, something deadly is going to happen. You understand? Because of this and this and this, 2018, in fact, the statement, there was something I said that, sorry. As in, when I talk about what might happen, the guy says, sorry. You know, Anyway, pride comes before what? Destruction. You don't have to have a dream. When you see some guy has begun walking in pride, you don't have to have a dream of what is going to happen. Hallelujah. You don't. You just know that if she continues, like that, it is automatic. However, you can pray or you can go and warn them that, man, the way you're operating, man, if you don't backslide, you're falling. You understand? Okay? Yes. Let's continue to read. To my amazement, you're there? Alan, I'm asking you, are you there? To my amazement, when the arrows of pride struck the warriors, they did not even notice. However, the enemy kept shooting. The warriors were bleeding and getting weaker fast, but they would not acknowledge it. Soon they were too weak to hold up their shields and swords. They cast them down, declaring that they no longer needed them. Let's stop a little bit there. What can we learn from just that scenario where people are casting, off their what? Their sword and shields. Remember, we studied about the armor of the Lord, using the final quest a few weeks ago. And we saw that all this, it is basically centered around the word of God. There's that verse which says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? And we see these guys are being hammered by pride. Okay? And then they start to what? To throw away their shield. You understand? Their swords. Okay? This means that losing interest in the word of God, is evidence that you have entered pride. That you have entered what? Pride. Now, I don't know how many of us here have entered pride. I've been living in pride all this long time. You understand? Because the word of God is God's instruction, God's guidance, God speaking to you, and to me. Now, if we discard, if we lose interest in the word of God, what that means essentially is that you no longer need the wisdom of God. You're sharp, you're like, I don't need to read the Bible. You can call it a weakness. You give it all the names you want. But the Bible, a recognized book, don't call it what you want to call it, how you want to excuse what. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Hallelujah. But we're all from the same stock. So I'm talking to you. If you don't want to, if you want, like, the Bible, you somehow find, you have all the time, you know, to get on Facebook, and read all the junk your friends are sending. You no longer will read it, but you even have the time to forward, you know, but then you don't have the time to read the Bible. You have the time to watch those 2 minute videos, watch, you know, okay? But you don't have the 2 minutes to read the Bible, Now, here it is saying you are in pride. You have already been hammered. You have already been hit. Because when these guys were hit by pride, that's when they started what? You understand? So if someone has discarded, he's discarding, and they already in pride, you're basically saying you don't need the wisdom of God. Your wisdom is enough. Your wisdom enough, your WhatsApp thing from your friends, the wisdom which they are giving you is enough. So you don't need to look in the scriptures. Glory be to God. This is what it says. When guys were hit by pride, the next thing was throwing away the word of God, the sword, the shield. Okay? You remember? It is the shield of faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. You know? So the shield they throw away, it's the word of God. The sword they discarded, it's the word of God. Glory be to God. I'm not saying that you should read 100 chapters of the Bible a day. Glory be to God. Okay, but I'm saying the moment you start, you just start saying at the word, man. And I say, but you know, Pastor, it is difficult to read. No. You are in pride. It is not difficult. You are in pride. Glory be to God. Thank God I'm not the one who went to heaven. I've never had a vision. I always tell you, and most of you get disappointed, that our pastor has never seen a vision. All other pastors, people's pastors are seeing vision. Our pastor has never seen. Now you can't talk about your pastor. You know, yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I've never seen a vision. However, so I'm not the one who wrote these things, who saw these visions. You understand? So I'm just, you know, we're studying the what? The final quest. Not reading the Bible is evidence that you have already been hammered. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It is that simple. This is a thing. People are running around. Wanting to learn deep things. Deep revelations. Now for me, I'm not yet there in deep things. Maybe that's why I've never seen a vision. This thing to me, it is just, to me, these are the things I want, simple things. Someone doesn't read the Bible, it is pride. That's simple. I don't need anything deep. Deep things which just make even prideful. They just feed your pride, your ego, your pride of knowledge. You've seen it, It's there, final quest. That's why we were studying the book, to get lessons from here. And the lesson, one of the lessons today, about Asoma Bible, you are in pride. Including those who read fake versions. Well, not really fake, but there are some versions. You cannot grow with those what? Versions. Like, you can't make the Message Bible, that version. Is it a version or a translation? Anyway, whatever. Because there are those two words I think are different. That Message Bible, it's good to read it, but you can't make it your reference, you understand? When you want to scriptures, and then what? You can't. I'm telling you, you cannot. It is just to make things a little bit what? Interesting, you know, you can't grow by having the Message Bible as your number one, what? Your primary Bible. You can't. You can't. I'm telling you, you can't. Okay?
But if you want to write, okay, oh, but the Message Bible says it like this also. That's cool. Eh? But if it is, man, you can. Now, not only the Message Bible, but also Good News Bible. I hope there's no one here who cracks that what? That Bible. Eh? That Bible is from hell, man. Eh? Good News Bible. Eh? Like, I didn't really feel so bad when this guy, what? Burnt it. Of course, he shouldn't have done that. Eh? But he should have just advised the people. Tell me this so much, you understand? Eh? And then you find a university kid saying that because the English is simple, good news in university, and now you start saying you're cracking the Good News Bible because of the English. That Bible is not from heaven. Eh? Mine's fake. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, if you're not reading it, don't buy it for your children. Because it's not simple English, so the kids can understand. No, you have known it's fake. Why are you buying it for your kid? Glory be to God. Man, that Bible, eh? Think the Catholics, any that Bible, man. Hallelujah. Amen? So, people who don't read the Bible, people who are good news, people who only do the Message Bible, you have all entered pride. You're there. Glory be to God. But maybe the good news guys haven't yet entered pride. Maybe they don't know any better. Eh? So yeah, those ones, you can forgive them a bit. Eh? But if they tell them, eh, someone knows English, because the English, what? But you get that Bible and read it, eh? You'll be like, but I've never had, you know. Then you check in KJV, eh? Man, you see things are different there, you know. Eh? Have you tried that? I'm telling you, eh? You just can't get it. If you think I'm just biased, I don't want to know it. Get that Bible now that you are, and start to see. It is saying its own things. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Eh? Okay? Okay? Neglecting the word, stopping to crack the Bible. You are not getting into pride. Eh? You are already there. Okay? Not reading the Bible, it is just a sign that you're there. Evidence. However, whatever you think, you're humble, you walk like this, you greet the pastor, what? You are in pride. You are in pride. All the other things, what? You are in pride. And we've seen it, haven't we? And we don't even have to read the final quest to see that. Eh? The word of God is the wisdom of God, isn't it? The word of God is God speaking to us. Isn't it? Now you start saying, sinner time, your Bible. What are you saying? You don't want God to speak to you. You don't want the wisdom of God. Isn't that simple? Isn't that pride? You think now you're wiser than God. And that's what happened to the devil. And he fell. Amen? Are you being blessed? Teddy, say amen. Shout amen. You don't only have to shout with a guitar. You can also shout amen to it with your mouth. Okay? Let's continue to read. Eh? Today, we know, we are, yeah, reading. They started taking off their armor. Eh? Are we there? Okay? They started taking off their armor, saying it was not needed anymore. All right? Then another division, another enemy division appeared and moved up swiftly. It was called Strong Delusion. They get deceived, man. Its members released a hail of arrows, and they all seemed to hit their marks. It only took a few of the demons of delusion, who were all small and seemingly weak, to lead away this once great army of glorious warriors. They were taken to various prison camps, each named after a different doctrine of demons.
I was astounded at how this great company of the righteous had been so easily defeated, and they still did not even know what had hit them. I blurted out, how could those who are so strong, who have been all the way to the top of the mountain, who have seen the Lord as they have, be so vulnerable? Pride is the hardest enemy to see, and it always sneaks up behind you, wisdom lamented. In some ways, those who have been to the greatest heights are in the greatest danger of falling. You must remember always that in this life, you can fall at any time from any level. Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. I replied, how awesome some such scriptures seem to me now. When you think you're the least vulnerable to falling, is in fact when you are the most vulnerable. Most men fall immediately after a great victory. Wisdom lamented. Hallelujah. These things, by the way, I'm telling you, this bit that we have read today, in my opinion, it is the saddest bit in the final quest. I'm saying very sad. And what makes it very sad is, again, what it is saying here, is that everyone is vulnerable. You understand? Everyone, you can fall from any level. You understand? Most of you like Andrew Womack, don't you? Do you know that Andrew Womack can fall? Do you know that? You're like, no, Andrew Womack, that guy, he knows the grace of God. He knows the Bible. But, you see, the Bible says, or the book says, anyone can fall from any level. Okay? And the Bible says that take heed, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Basically, anyone can fall. Andrew can fall. Benin can fall. I can fall. You can fall. If you haven't yet fallen. Amen? You may be here when actually God has just come to what? To help you to get back. But when you've already been flawed, man. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, Benny, you know anyone? Rick Joyner, this guy. Reading what is this book? Rick Joyner. And then you say, but God, how that guy who those visions of the final quest, and he saw you, and we went to the top of the mountain, and then came back, and then he wrote that book. How, you know, See, no, people just don't like him, they're lying. But what if they're saying the truth? You understand? Prophet Elvis can fall, you understand? Amen? What's your name? Arthur. Damba. That one you think, that can't happen. You understand? So you think Womack can fall, but Elvis can't fall. You understand? Right now, in this Kampala, people have created a God. Hallelujah. People have what? You know, I hope you're not among them. We're not among them. You know, and I think to avoid heartaches, you know, to avoid getting broken hearted, you know, in life, I'm learning. Of course, there are things I think I've known as a child, but anyway, I'm learning to more and more realize that we're all human beings, we're all flesh and blood. Do you understand? So that now when Womack falls, I don't get a nervous breakdown. Do you know some people, Womack, who is here who loves Womack a lot? Maybe they're not here. But anyway, there are some people, I'm telling you, some people can get a nervous breakdown.
But however, and I think, either, I don't know whether it is good or bad, the falls are usually, you know, they cannot be seen by canoe. So some guy can fall, now Androma can fall, you can find, no, it's not true, eh? And I hope it's not. But do you know that you can find that Andrew Womack is already fallen? Do you know that? Huh? Falling, it doesn't mean that when Andrew Womack falls now, he's no longer on TV. Actually, most people, the falling, they think it is maybe sexual stuff. Eh? The man CNN headlines, man. Eh? The word, one of the Pentecostal preachers, eh, you know, eh, fallen. He was caught with a prostitute. Eh? That's what most people think by falling. Isn't it? Oh, they grabbed him with money. But money, for a preacher, you can explain it. No, I didn't steal any money. This is, I'm using money, the ministry, this jet. It's not my jet. It is for the ministry. Eh? So money, it can be hard to corner, you know. Like a preacher, eh? To corner him on money. It is very hard. Eh? It's like cornering Museveni on money. Eh? You understand? Eh? Corruption. It's very hard. Of course, but I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled, you know, with security. I need security. So the way I see my best with security is I need 100 what? Cars around. You understand? It's very hard. Eh? Security, I need to a house on the lake. Because on the lake, you can see who's coming. Eh? You understand? Eh? You can see no South Bulungi. Then Museveni builds a house on the lake. So you can't corner him there by saying it's corrupt. Eh? He has stolen money. You can't. It's very hard. Eh? Hmm? However, the falling is first always in the spirit. Eh? If Museveni does something, and for him in his heart, it's like, actually, I'm playing these guys. Eh? You might not be able to pin him, eh? But he has already fallen, according to heaven. And that's actually the most important bit, the opinion of heaven. You understand? Eh? Okay? Okay? Where were we? I don't know how I got there. Eh? But anyway, he was told that anyone can do what? Can fall. Eh? And he was said that in some ways, now this is the most frightening bit, eh? In some ways, those who have been to the greatest heights, you know, are in the greatest danger of falling. Eh? In some ways, those who have been to the greatest heights, their risk of falling is greater than those who have never been there. You understand? Eh? So now you start to say, but over man, I shouldn't what? Overseek God, eh? Because I'm, the more you seek God, the more what? Yeah? Higher, higher. And the higher you go, the greater the risk. Eh? You understand? Eh? But the good news or the bad news is there will be people who think that you can't fall. You know, so I don't know whether that is because my greatest, you know, Rick Joyner, wow, no, cannot. Eh? Amen? Lucifer. Huh? Lucifer. Hmm? You know Lucifer? There's someone I heard of who calls him Lucy. Lucy. But I had a dream. I wanted to tell you, today's Wednesday. I had a dream on Monday morning or yesterday. And I wanted to link up with you and ask you what you think. But anyway, there was a woman in this dream, I had some lady I know, who's called what? I knew her many years ago, and I last saw her like a few years ago, but she's called Hulusi. But from the dream, what? So that dream, I just failed to work. I was like, it's a canoe? But I was like, no, this dream, don't think it's canoe. And I was like, maybe this name, what? Lucy. And God knows that I know someone who calls Lucifer, Lucy, eh? And I was like, there could be something here. I'll tell you, right? Glory be to God. Amen. Anyway, you remember
Lucifer,
He
not only visited the presence of God, as in he not only visited the greatest heights like we've seen here, but he lived there. He lived there. These weak joiners, they just visit. True, once in a while. But there's someone who lived there. Are you hearing me? And they fail. What about you who just visits? Do you understand what I mean? It was their home, their abode. They lived there. They were not visiting Lucifer. And he failed. Then you think a woman can't fall? Do you understand what I mean? Man, the earlier you get, in fact, it will also help you when you start to tell yourself every day that I am flesh and blood. No, I'm a boy, I'm a child of God, flesh and blood, about what? My spirit is recreated in Christ Jesus. That's true, however, you are also flesh and blood. It is essentially because of the flesh and blood that you fall. You understand? The falling doesn't begin from the spirit. Your spirit man is perfect. But via the soul, the flesh and blood, then Lucifer, man, the guy fell. You remember Adam? The first Adam? This Adam lived in an environment where there was no sin. Have you ever envisioned an environment like that? It's actually hard to imagine it, because none of us have ever lived in it. You can't even, where there is no corruption in anything around you. You understand? God visits you in the cool of the day. Someone had never known sin. They were not born in sin. They were not born with a sinful nature. And they fell. What about us who are what? We were born in it. We are born by sinners. You understand? Therefore, born sinners. Lived in sin. Got born again. But we still have the sinful in nature. And not only that, but we also sin. You understand? So how can you say we can't fall? You understand? Adam, man, lived and he fell. The more I think about these things, I hope I'm not getting messed up. But the more I think about these things, you see, that is one of the reasons why this thing of the soul returning of the Lord. That's why, man, that message is too awesome, man. It's too wonderful. You can come back before you have fallen. Isn't that good? Do you understand? I don't know why people don't want what? Jesus to come back quickly, to come back tomorrow. There's so many advantages when you think about them. Many advantages. Hallelujah. Many advantages. Alright? Anyway, Lucifer fell. Adam fell. These are guys who had never known sin. And they fell. So you can fall. Alright? Okay, then there are others who are born in sin. And they lived in sin. They sinned. People like Noah, a man who walked with God. I realized by this some time ago that thing, walking with God, most of us think that it was only a reference to Enoch. But the Bible also says that Noah walked with God. It's there. Okay? But then the guy walked with God. You understand? God chose him. He survived the flood because he was what? Righteous. After the flood, you see the guy, man. The Bible says he planted a vineyard. God drank, man. The guy got drunk, then the kid saw the nakedness of the father. What that means is also another thing.
You understand? Eh? So in a sense, Noah also failed, man. After all, sinners had been what? Wiped out. Some guy who had a CV with God also, man. Eh? You understand? He was picked out, his family, righteous guys. Sinners destroyed. A guy who God had, like some guys from Fumbleland, Namiriango used to say, God yari am gaining amu. There's that term. Oh my God, oku gaining amu. So they had that thing, gaining in and losing in. You know, Anyway, you understand what I mean? You know when God is gaining, aku gaining amu, then also the gay man blew it. Hallelujah. But not to, I believe, drastic levels. Okay? David. This man, the guy, a man after God's own heart. God threw out a king, okay? And then he said, I found someone after my own heart. He's the one who's going to do for him my work. David also, man, at a certain point in his life, he failed, but he came back, thank God. And that is after winning battles, winning things. Then he fell into comfort zone. You know, at the time when kings go to war, David thought that, now for me, those things. It is a time for kings to go to war. David is a king, so he should be at war. But he somehow was like, those are for what? You know, the other lower kings. You understand? And the guy fell. Because that was the time when he saw Bathsheba bathing. And glory be to God. You know, Hallelujah. But now, what God wants us to do is not to get on that list. Are you listening to me? Teddy, you're operating like for you, you're already on that list. I'm joking. Teddy is my friend, by the way. And that's the worst thing that can happen to you in LAT. Amen? So get to know it. The worst thing that can happen to you in LAT is if you're my what? By the honest, experience it on Sunday. Hallelujah. So the best thing you can do for yourself is stay very what? Very far away from this pastor guy. Otherwise, he will embarrass you. Hallelujah. Don't get on the list. Don't get on the list. However, if you get on the list, you can get off like David did. Hallelujah. Amen. And pray that Jesus comes back soon. I don't know whether that can happen, but the scripture in Peter which says to quicken the return of the Lord. I don't know exactly what that scripture means. For if you know, to, is it fasten to quicken the return of the Lord? So that he can get you before you fall. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope this is not a bad sermon. Why don't you preach good things? People, we think which give us hope. You know, we just are falling, telling us we are falling. Well, the reason why these things are there, God doesn't want us to fall. You understand? And he says when we fall, it is not, we don't have to stay there. The Bible says a righteous man falls how many times? Seven times. But he always gets up. You know Catherine Coleman? You've heard about her. Great lady. Okay? Most of what is known about Catherine Coleman is the second phase of her life. All the things that you hear about Catherine Coleman, it is the second phase. You know, after she fell and got back. This one, Catherine Coleman,
It is the second phase after she came back. But she failed. You know, eh? And that phase, there's nothing much. All these things, the work has been come and glorious. Well, you know, second phase. I've told you, it, you know, eh? It is the second phase. So you can come back, eh? And you can come back greater, eh? If you choose to. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the remedy against falling, the falling that comes due to pride, is not to trust in ourselves, eh? But in God. We should always be humble to seek His wisdom. Eh? All right? Because remember, Rick Joyner asked a question. Eh? I don't know if I read it. Eh? Anyway, but he says, how can we keep from being attacked like this? I asked. Okay? Stay close to me. Inquire of the Lord before making major decisions and keep that mantle on. Then the enemy will not be able to easily blindside you as he did them. All right? Stay close to me. Eh? Who is that me? Is wisdom. Stay close to wisdom. You understand? Eh? Okay? Stay close to wisdom. Don't stay close to WhatsApp. Don't stay close to Facebook. Stay close to wisdom. Okay? And always inquire of the Lord before doing what? Making major decisions. Because if you're inquiring of the Lord, it means you're esteeming His wisdom above your wisdom. That is essentially what it means by stay close to me. Stay close to wisdom. Inquire of the Lord before making major decisions. Hallelujah. You get the point, eh? Okay? So the remedy to falling is to not to trust in our own wisdom, but to trust in God. Okay? And the sign of humility is someone who seeks God's what? Guidance. Eh? Alright? Alright? Alright. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his wisdom. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. All right? Okay? We should not glory in ourselves. Eh? We should glory in only God. All right? Jeremiah, let's open chapter 17. Chapter 17, from verse 5 to 8. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Cursed is what? You see, that word is cursed. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Okay? This shows you that when you're trusting in yourself, eh? When you're trusting in your own power, eh? Flesh and blood, eh? Okay, you're cursed. Okay? And it means you have departed from the Lord. Okay? When you start neglecting the Bible, eh? I hope I'm not taking things too far, but I believe I'm right. You have departed from the Lord. Because you're trusting in your own self, your own wisdom. Okay? And you're cursed. Okay? For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see good when the good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Okay? Basically, you will not see fruitfulness in your, you know, you understand? You won't experience the goodness of the Lord. because you have departed from him. You're trusting in your own wisdom. You're prideful. Eh? So you experience destruction. All right? Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruits. All right? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. All right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Always put God in the picture. Always inquire of him before making major decisions. Then he shall direct your path. Then he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That is humility. Not being wise in your own eyes. But instead, you acknowledge the Lord, you know, in everything. You inquire of him in everything. You know, you don't glory in your own wisdom. You don't trust in man. You don't put your trust, in the flesh. But your glory in the Lord. You trust in him. And then it says, man, things will be great. You won't live a life that can be defined as destruction. You understand? Because pride comes before a fall. Pride comes before destruction. Are you listening to me? These are simple things, aren't they? I looked at the mantle. We'll continue to read. Are we there? Okay. I looked at the mantle. It looked so plain and insignificant. I felt that it made me look more like a homeless person than a warrior. Wisdom responded as if I'd been speaking out loud. The Lord is closer to the homeless than to kings. You only have true strength to the degree that you walk in the wisdom of God. And he gives his grace to the humble. All right? You only have true strength to the degree that you walk in the grace of God. And he gives his grace to the humble. Okay? So we can say that you only have true strength to the degree that you walk in humility. Isn't it? It makes sense. You only have true strength to the degree that you walk in what? In humility. The key word there, or the key phrase being true strength. True strength. True spiritual strength. Hallelujah. So, like I'm a pastor here, if I'm not walking in humility, whatever words I use and scriptures I can, whatever, you get impressed. Okay? If I'm a seer like Elvis, and I can see, and then I tell you stuff, that doesn't count, as far as true strength is concerned. You understand? If I can do all of it, I can quote scriptures off head and impress you guys. Say, man, our pastor. Okay, our pastor doesn't see. Our pastor has never seen a vision. Pastor can quote you scriptures like 20 and just like this. There's a guy, you know, who does that, I hear, can, John, you know, and wow. However, all those things don't count. Heaven, you see, heaven's perspective is different from what? True strength, you can do all those things, but if you don't walk in humility, according to Rick Joyner and according to the book, you don't have true strength. Glory be to God. True strength. So what do you want? Just the kind of strength or true strength? That's all we want. And that comes by the grace of God, which grace God gives to the humble. Hallelujah. All right. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That sounds like someone who's strong. If you're resisting, if the devil can flee from you, then man, you're a strong guy. Okay? But it says that ability to resist the devil and to make him flee from you comes by humility, by submission to God. Okay? If the devil is on your case and is not fleeing, most probably you're prideful. You're in pride. You're not walking in humility. You're not walking in submission to God. That's why the devil was like, but I mean, you're my brother. I didn't submit to God. And you don't submit to God. So we're in the same clique. How can I, we're supposed to be together. The unsubmissive. The club or the unsubmissive. Can't you say, but man, you're my brother. Where do you want me to flee? To those guys who submit to God? I don't belong there. I believe where, this is our club. Okay? All right? No weapon can penetrate this mantle because nothing can overcome his grace. As long as you wear this mantle, you are safe from this kind of attack. Rick Joyner was told. And we have seen it here. The devil flees from those who are humble. Who have submitted to God. Who don't trust in their own selves. Or in anything else. But their trust is in God. That's why he says here, no evil weapon can penetrate this mantle. Glory be to God. No evil weapon can penetrate or can take out someone who is humble. It's not there. It's not what? It's not there. On the contrary, the enemy flees from such people. He attempts to calm, disturbs them a bit, but sooner or later he has to flee. Hallelujah. He has to flee. And I believe the reason why he tries to disturb them a bit is to get them out of submission to God. To get them in pride. And there he hits Bulungi. Glory be to God. Page 27. Page 27. Today we have read the final quest. Joseph must be happy. Say, now this is what we want. Page 27, paragraph 10. You there? I was left standing in the midst of the great company of angels who were ministering to the wounded on the level of salvation. As I began to walk past these angels, They bowed on one knee and showed me great respect. I finally asked one of them why they did this, as even the smallest was much more powerful than I was. Because of the mantle, he replied, that is the highest rank in the kingdom. Man, this is beautiful. Man, these are things for me I want. They told him, that is the highest rank in the kingdom. Humility. Now, that phrase alone means so many things. It means the highest rank is not the ability to man whatever scripture, I say, man, our pastor knows scripture, you gay. Come and visit our church on Sunday. Just visit. Our pastor, he can do scripture And you have never seen me, doing that. So I'm not in that clique. Amen. I know the scriptures, but I don't know how to get 10 scriptures, and you give the reference. The guys who do that. But that is not the highest rank in the kingdom. Okay? It's good, by the way, to do that. I wish I could do that, but I'm not gifted that way. Amen? Those things are gifts, by the way. Okay? But which you can also mess up. And now the scripture thing just becomes, you just get puffed up. So someone quotes scriptures, but God who sees them, these are puffed up people. With knowledge, who puffs up, but love edifies, Okay? So the highest rank is, now, if you're a preacher, a pastor, or you have a fellowship, or something, a ministry like Womack, highest rank is not how many people you have, how many people follow you. Did it say that? But you're like, no, Pastor Moses, this is just a book. You can't now start saying that, to use this book like it is a Bible. Granted, show me a scripture which shows that the highest rank is what? The number of followers. Do you know it? Maybe you don't know it because you don't read what? A Bible. You have never found it. You've never come across it. In fact, I think I should stop asking you where things are in the Bible. Whether they are there. Because they might be there, but we have never found it. We have never read it because the Tesoma Bible, we are prideful. Maybe it's there in the Message Bible. I don't know. Have some Message Bible by October, but it might be there in the Good News Bible. That Bible is dead, the man. It might be there, I'm telling you. I wouldn't be surprised, man. When you text me tonight, say, Pastor Moses, actually, I'm sorry to say, I honor you and I don't mean to what, but this verse is there. You say it's not there, but I found it. I'm telling you good news, Astrology Sangam. Hallelujah. We have spiritual gifts, maybe the gift of the gifts of healings. When someone man can, the gifts of the gift of raising the dead. It's a gift. I'm telling you, guys are there. Coming to raising the dead, they can fail to quote two scriptures to do quickly. They just paraphrase But dead people. However, that also is not the highest rank. Now, raise a dead person, if you're a pastor, man, people are coming to your church. However, but that still is not the highest rank. The highest rank in the kingdom is not which people come to your church. The middle class man, Sebutinde man goes to that church. Do you know which people in that church, man, that church, or your pastor, or your, that pastor I naturally na septinde kajina eh you know kajina Jennifer Musisi, they go to that church. Then you start looking at that pastor, man, that must be the greatest pastor in Uganda. Kajina. And you know, Kajina's sister is married to Rugunda. You understand? Oyo, pastor Oyo. Kati, now, you have left Kajina, Kachori Kurugunda. Rugunda has never stepped into the church, but you add it there, Okulaga. How does that make the church powerful? You know, eh? Huh? Like if Museveni's daughter who comes to the church, Museveni's daughter, you know, that girl is Museveni's daughter. And that girl goes to that church. Now you can see how powerful that was. But Museveni is not Tetavidi more. Anyway, who attends your church is not, you know, the highest rank. You understand? You know, now we have this, the movement, the prophetic who movement. The one who sees most, let's say it is Elvis or which other guy is right now, I say most. John, you know this, Apostle John, the gay man can't say. This is guy we have here, Apostle, no, Paul, Mutebi. Hey, You know, Prophet Paul, Jaser, he says that Paul would combine my seeing, which was zero, my seeing, Paul, Jaser's seeing, Johnny's seeing, like the whole thing in LATA, this Paul Mutebi guy, Yona, it is all in one person, and it's true. That guy is Saraman. You just see him there, but you don't know what you're dealing with. Now, Paul, I honor your seeing things. However, you are not necessarily the greatest in the kingdom. Because you can have those things, a gift. But when you're not humble, when you're not the most humble, the highest rank. And now for me, this is what I'm pursuing, by the way. I'm telling you. The highest ranking church is not which church collects the most money on Sunday. Because Kajina, do you know how much Kajina earns? Now her tithes. I think Kajina is generous. Man, some rich people are not yet, but Kajina is generous. She tithes, but she also gives more. You understand? Now, 17 days, you know, the money she gets when she goes where international, what? I tell those people travel a lot. I tell buying allowances. Cut ties on those allowances. You know, then some are even info leaks from the accountant of the church or the administrator. And they say, man, LAT, every month, 1 billion shillings. Then now all the kind of people start flocking to LAT. That church is the greatest. 1 billion shillings. Greatest. Where, unless it is a Chichirimu Good News Bible that says that a collection of people, a group of people which collects the most money offertory is the greatest. You show it to me. Message Bible people might find it. It's not there. That means, if you want to be the, by the way, God wants you to be the greatest. I hope you know that. God wants all of us to be the greatest. Okay? Now, if you want to be the greatest, don't go by those things. Seek what here it says it's the greatest. You know, the highest rank in the kingdom is humility. I'm telling you, I have to get the thing before I what? Before I depart. If I depart when I am not the greatest, but at least at a certain phase in my life, I will have been the greatest. You understand? You see how
like at a certain point, Newcastle, that football club, at a certain point, it had some records. It broke some what? Records. But somehow other teams, what? You understand? But at one, you know, so even me, before we I depart, if I depart when I'm not, but I will have at least 7 years, but at a certain point it was. You understand? Amen? This whole thing now, crowds, how many people I know? How many people are there? Well, LAT, how many people go for Bible study? But Pastor Moses, chichi. Chichi, 3 years, chichi. Something's wrong. Maybe it's not receiving. What from where? What? You know, then you start some games, man. You know, I get me here, then I take a pause, knock back a fan, and Pastor Moses, cool guy. Then you start Facebook. So that pastors can, people can say cool guy, a cool pastor, so they can come on Sunday. That's crap, man. You know, how is that connected to heaven? A cool what? You understand? Then can't you be mutant and say to draw crowds, pictures. Pictures. I'm telling you, I refused. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And maybe some people will come. People will come. I'm telling you, they will. We can experiment it, but no. Those experiments will be done in the millennium. You know, Then you somehow, you create a resemblance between me and Elvis, which doesn't exist. You just create some resemblance. Bafana gana mu, Then you get Elvis's peak, nange, no, Facebook. So come and worship with us on Sunday. You know, Elvis and the peak. Maybe we all had blue blazers, And now that's what you're using to draw crowds. Really, really, really. I'm not going there. I am not. I will never and I will never. As long as God is paying what? The rent. I know some people are going to start saving. Some people are going to stop giving. Can't see money. But again, you see, my trust is not in what? In man. That's why I can honestly tell you that God wants you to serve in this season. Because I'm not trusting in you. So maybe that means that I'm humble. Because I'm not trusting in man. I'm trusting, you know. Church is 2 hours serving. You man, you're what? That's dangerous. You're going to suffer. But not us. Amen. God somehow, you come through. Amen. So, that is the highest rank in the kingdom, humility. Teddy, go for that. Of course, you know, we can't get there in one day, but if you have that desire, you know, somehow, God will help you to progressively, you know, I've had that desire for years, years. All right? Amen? And I don't know where I've reached. However, as long as I'm still alive, I'll pursue it, Okay, so Rick Jonas says, this is just a plain mantle. I protested. No, the angel insisted. You're clothed in the grace of God. There is no greater power than that. But there are thousands of us all wearing the same mantle. How could it represent the rank? I asked. You are the dreaded champions, the sons and daughters of the king. He wore the same mantle when he walked on this earth. As long as you're clothed in that, there is no power in heaven or on earth that can stand before you. Everyone in heaven and hell recognizes that mantle. All right? You see, Jesus
was exalted because he humbled himself. Okay, so we shall also be exalted if we walk in humility. All right? And the extent to which we walk in humility is the extent to which we will be great in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. We are finishing. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. All right? Why? Because he humbled himself. Okay? And Paul is saying, let that same mind be in you. Okay? That mind which was in Jesus. The mind to walk in humility, to walk in submission to God. Okay? And when you do that, you also will be exalted. You will be given a great name. In the spirit, man, they will say, no guy on, to Mumani. That thing of Jesus, we know. Paul, you know. We know. Who are you? You know, Okay? Now God wants your name to be added on that list. Jesus, we know. Paul, you know. Alan, we know. Joseph, you know. Then they ask who? Who are you? We got it. But the way you get that name is by what? Having that mind which was in Christ. That mind, the attitude of humility. All right? Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said that I am gentle and lowly in heart. And prayer, he says, come and learn from me. You know, because I'm gentle. Then he says, I am lowly. Then he says, learn from me. That's what Paul says, that let that mind that Jesus had be also in you. Learn of him. Glory be to God. Amen. Matthew 23 verse 11 to 12, it says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's what servant is, actually a slave. A slave, you are a nobody. You are the lowest man. But Jesus says, he who is greatest among you shall be a slave. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, because pride comes before destruction. Okay? So you exalt yourself, you walk in pride, you will be humbled. You will be destroyed. You will be brought to your level and lower. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Glory be to God. That is the last scripture we have read in the Bible. Now let's read the last passage in the final quest. Page 76. Paragraph 8. It reads, but you must always remember, even if you abide in my presence and see me as I am, you can still fall if you turn from me to look at yourself. That is how Lucifer fell. He dwelt in this room and beheld my glory and the glory of my Father. However, he began to look at himself more than he looked to us. He then began to take pride in his position and power. Many of my servants who have been allowed to see my glory and be entrusted with my power have fallen in the same way as Lucifer. If you begin to think that it is because of your wisdom, your righteousness, or even your devotion to doctrine, you also stumble. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your raising a class of people who are going to walk with you, and they'll walk with you to the final end. They will walk in great humility, and because of that, they will win great victories for the kingdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, may all these people here, may everyone who listens to this message, Father, may the spirit of humility begin to work in their lives. In the name of Jesus, may they not think, may they not ever even entertain the thought that greatness in the kingdom is because of how much someone has or how much someone manifests, demonstrates. But let them always remember that the highest in the kingdom is he who walks in humility. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your work in the hearts of everyone in this place, and you enable them to walk the walk of the kingdom, never falling, but always going higher and higher because of your grace, the grace which you give to the humble. In Jesus' name, amen.